Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, I want to tell you about the Sneaker Newsletter. I've been writing deep dives that are getting shared around the industry. Stories like how Under Armour turned the greatest shooter who ever lived into the biggest failure in sneaker history, how the sneaker industry sold a scarcity until we stopped buying, why Farfetch's collapse is now playing out at Puma, how Nike spent 16 years on a shoe that almost wasn't. And it's a shoe you know. These are the stories you won't find anywhere else from someone who's actually been inside these companies. Every Tuesday, free industry analysis. Paid subscribers get 3 more posts per week, including vault stories from my 20 years at StockX, Complex, Finish Line, Eastbay, and Stadium Goods. TheSneakerNewsletter.com, link in the show notes. DM me on Substack for a discount for our podcast listeners. All right, let's get into it.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life.
5 seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gil. The crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up? What up? Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name is Nick Engvall with my guys, Mike and Robbie, to talk about some kicks today. Woo. We are going to dive into the, it's such a weird thing to even consider, but sneaker free agency of Steph Curry, because he's been wearing all sorts of crazy shoes for the past 2 or 3 months. But before we get into that, what's good, fellas? How you guys doing?
I'm good, man. Robbie, look, you had something to say. What's up? You had your hand
I
up.
Do. It's about Steph Curry. Well, I'll bring it up after how Mike's doing. Are you okay, my guy, looking fresh?
I'm good. You know, I'm out here just chilling, just, you know, out here raising kids, man, working. That's all I'm doing.
Out here raising youth.
Raising youth. Man,
it's been a minute since we've seen Mike's clean-shaven face, clean-shaven head. Like, what? You were just like, man, okay. All-Star Weekend took it out of me. I'm starting over, or what?
You know what? I just got bored. I was like, man, you know what? I joked earlier, I said, I want my face to breathe again. I was like, I did it. Then I put a video out the next day. It was like, I didn't watch the video. I just saw that you de-aged 10 years. I'm like, well, yeah, now I'm 12. Thanks.
So about that, it's easy for me to like mess up my facial hair. Then I trim it all off. So if I get like my alignment wrong, it's just, it's off with its head. I can't do it. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. Just, you know, getting over a little bit of FOMO from All-Star Weekend. Like, I don't need any of the shoes, but I definitely saw a lot of cool stuff happening for the first time in a long time. So that was kind of interesting feeling, but we don't need to get into that. But I'm good.
I'm with you, though, man. I wish I could have made it out there. It just looked fun. Like, I didn't plan on buying anything, but it just looked cool with all the, like, things happening.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Robbie, you gave me a little bit of FOMO this morning when you text the group chat with a picture of you and Greg's sneakers and standing in line for your cards, man. Like,
it was,
man,
I haven't it done was that. Good.
Not that I want to stand in line, but I haven't done that in like literally years.
So this, speaking of All-Star, was kind of rough on Nike last episode. I saw a video of the Booker 2, the branding, whatever they're using on it. What's it called? What's the line called? Like the
warning label?
Warning label. I saw the warning label book twos with like movement behind them. And I see the vision behind that shoe. It looks really good. So they're not all bad. There's some good shoes there. The book two in particular, I thought changed my mind on how
All right.
I would buy the book two.
The Kobe 3 was my really favorite. Nice. That Kobe 3 warning label. I love that purple iridescent.
Well, yeah. So those are just very hard to get. The warning label threes are the best of them all. But like in an attainable shoe, the book was very good. And upon further inspection, I will amend my feelings on the book too.
Circle back to it. It was nice.
But so this whole episode's about Curry free agency. We can go more about sneaker free agency and how exciting that all is. I read a little story a couple days ago about Under Armour taking back Curry brand's Instagram and like social media following, the people behind it. Couple levels to that. They initially said in like the uncoupling of the partnership that Curry was going to keep those type of like creative or social assets. Like those would be onto his. And for them just to get wiped and transferred over to Under Armour, it was like 500,000 followers. Technology is crazy just to be able to like swoop and take followers from one pool to another. I didn't know that was a thing. And second of all, that's kind of like an unheard of move. That's kind of like a messy, an X in their feelings type move, like taking back their follow. I don't know.
Just dirty.
I thought that was just interesting as we start talking about Curry Free Agency, that as the brand now separates and we never thought we would see Steph Curry without the Under Armour umbrella attached to him. It's kind of a little bit messy now that he's been seen out with other, I'll say quote unquote girls, but sneakers, right? Like now he's been seen out doing well and thriving without his ex.
Basically, like they took the dog in a divorce and didn't tell him. They snuck the dog out the house and was like,
you can't. Thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, right? Like, it's literally Curry brand as the handle, right? So what good does taking that? It's not like you switch that over to some other thing. Hey, we're UA Hoops now instead of Curry brand, but you don't have Curry. So like all those people that followed that account are Curry fans, not Under Armour fans, right?
Interesting.
I mean, they need as much help as they can right now, because since the only news we're getting from Under Armour is that Curry split, we get some sprinkles, some lifestyle stuff they're supposedly going to be releasing here soon.
That lifestyle, she looks good. The really big UA logo on the back.
The skate shoe type.
The white and gray pair.
Yeah. It looks good.
Little front looking air unit in the front.
They need help.
I'll never wear them still. Let's keep it a buck. I'm never going to wear that shoe. It's ugly. But it's really pretty ugly. It's fashionable.
I mean, I think it looks all right, but like I'm still not wearing that shoe or that style of shoe from UA. The reason that you are wearing a shoe like that is because you fuck with the brand, right? Like
yeah.
UA is like continues to kind of dig its own hole in a lot of ways. And I just think like the idea of Under Armour as a footwear brand kind of hit its limit already. Mm-hmm. And I don't see how they come back from all of the things that they've already done to kind of push people away from the brand, because, you know, I get like where they came from. They were very strategic in the way that they rolled all that out in the beginning, right? You saw all the prototype shoes, you saw Brandon Jennings wearing them, you saw a bunch of their schools like Maryland wore them at the time. And I think that was the right way to do it, but they were so heavily Under Armour, like underwear and like performance, you know, wicking
serving off duty cops since 1996. Yeah.
But like that market is so one competitive. And once you have all your stuff with, you know, Kevin Plank is definitely not a personable CEO with the choices he's made over the years, for sure. But even with him going away and then coming back, it's like, it feels like it's just lost in general. And I feel for the people that work there, because these are things that you can't talk about when you work at a company, but you're feeling the pressures of outside influence on the brand. You're feeling the missteps internally where you're like, you know, people want to have a job and they want to design a shoe or create colorways or market the shoes, whatever. And yet all these things make the consumer, and especially the sneaker media type people, the creators out there, not really care much about the brand. So it's just such an uphill battle to get people back involved when like the coolest things they've done over the past 5 to 10 years are now no longer. And it just like, yeah. it's so weird. It seems like even the taking the handle back on Instagram feels it just feels like a bad decision. You know, it's like you already came out and said it. It was published across a bunch of websites. You know, Soul Retriever, I think, was the first whatever that published it. Mm-hmm. But it's like you basically said you were going to have an amicable split. And now you're like, no, it's mine.
Petty.
I don't know how, like, it's so petty to me from a distance that, like, why would I want to even support anything involved in that? Because it seems so petty. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
No, I mean, it makes sense when you look at what, how it was deemed. It's like, hey, we're just going to branch off just because everything's going on. need to focus. They were trying to, what they framed as focusing on other parts of the business because the shoes weren't really, I don't know what they want to say, making the money, for lack of better words. But yeah, it is really weird. I mean, the way shoes are sold now, I mean, of course, it's going to be the hype cycle. Of course, like, hey, this thing's limited. This thing is, you know, this person's wearing it. And what's the only person you have wearing your shoes right now? Is it what, Bryce Harper? And
I can't think of one other athlete.
Well, De'Aaron Fox, but I don't know if his deal like dissolved because he was under Curry brand. I don't know what that looks like because he's still wearing his shoe, of course. But you have one person, and how many people are looking at besides a cleat for Bryce Harper for fashion tips, you know? And a lot of these off-duty cops. I mean, but a lot of these kids now who are in the sports, who are, you know, going to these schools, they're looking at like, what brand am I going to be able to wear all the time? And they're not going to a school like, oh yeah, I want to wear these Under Armour shoes all day. It's like, That's why a lot of these schools are switching now, because they're like, I can't get a kid to come here. They don't want to wear Under Armour. So between bad, I don't say bad, but like ineffective sponsorship deals with like Bryce Harper, the only cool person you had was Steph Curry, and you basically couldn't do anything with that now. And now kids don't want to go to schools with Under Armour. You got to just eliminate this whole shoe business. Go back to just the stretchy shirts and tactical gear, because I feel like they're in over the hair with the shoe. And even when we talk about this new lifestyle shoe, what happened to the last one that ASAP Rocky supposedly helped design? Exactly. It gone. I never saw anybody wear besides ASAP Rocky for like 12
or
seconds.
Or him.
I mean, that's the crazy part too, right? Like, I think we talked about this in the Discord quite a bit, or at least Travis and I have talked about it. But like, at one point in 2015, they had the MVP of baseball, the MVP of football with Cam Newton, the MVP of, you know, basketball with Curry. Hey, somebody on the golf side. Was Jordan Spieth with them? Somebody who was like at the top of their game in that year.
We'll find out.
And then like to lose that, I'm like, well, they also had, at that same time, they had Buster Posey, got a shout out my Giants. They had Lindsey Vonn, who's in the Olympics again this year at like 40 something years old with a whatever torn Achilles or whatever. Yeah, like they had like literally the top athlete in like 7 or 8 sports in 2015. And it's so mind boggling that like, it just kind of all seems to have unraveled somehow. I don't know, man. I don't want to like continue to harp on that stuff, 'cause like it is what it is. And I don't think any of us have like too much invested in Under Armour as like a brand. Because it's been, I feel like this has been writing on the wall for 10 years, you know, like,
or, it's a huge, or like, when you especially years. Like, it's put together the MVP conversation. And doesn't every sports athletic brand look to have like the best athletes wearing their stuff and to capitalize off
they
that?
They actually had it.
It's like okay, sign them, check. Get them when they're really, really good and winning championships, check. Then do something with it. And it's like,
here I had this in a text: Bryce Harper, Cam Newton, Steph Curry, Jordan Spieth, Misty Copeland, Lindsey Vonn, and Buster Posey, all within 2015-2016, like potentially like top of the game for
peak
their
powers,
during that time. But like, that's the crazy part about it, is like, you still got to have really cool product. And I know like I'm not the only one that feels this way, but I don't think you can make cool product with the Under Armour logo on it. The only cool product that they've made had such minimal UA branding on it, or was a Curry branded shoe. So like, and even like the Curry brand logo is not near as good as the SC30 logo, right? Like the SC30 logo, there's a wow factor to it. But I think of like, I've got like the Bloodlines from Soul Collector sitting on the wall. And like that shoe, like they literally chopped down the logo into just the heel cup, basically. So it's like so minimal on that shoe. The rest of the shoe is has all the different colors, all the different, you know, aspects of the shoe. And it doesn't take away from the actual, you know, design of the shoe.
Yeah.
Even with that shoe, like the regular one had the big UA on the tongue, but the Soul Collector ones just have the S. So it simplifies the design by a ton. And I can't think of any shoe that I like from them that where the Under Armour logo hasn't been replaced with something else, whether that's like a PE logo on the tongue or, you know, they did what was their hoops tournament back in the day was like the Elite 24 or something.
Oh, so they did
all those E24 logos. And like that was the way that they were getting around the Under Armour logo being just kind of stale. Because like if you look at any other logo, especially with sneakers, even like Lacai has motion to it, you know, like the swoosh, the Reebok Vector, like everything about them looks like movement, looks like it's going somewhere. And UA's is kind of like it just looks like it was like a tank dropped on, you know, like this giant stamp on any shoe. That's got to be tough as a designer or as a like color person, too, because you're always probably trying to like mask that in some way, in my opinion.
This is never going to be a relevant thing to say until past this moment. But the Lacai logo has so much good movement to it. When I was in the card line to buy One Piece trading card this morning, I noticed somebody wearing Lacai's, like right up from far away, too.
Nice.
And they weren't like good looking shoes. They're like, they were busted skate shoes. But the logo has always looked good. And it does have that movement to it. Like it's instantly recognizable. I haven't thought about Lacai in years, but I saw that the logo instantly had the recognition. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, those are. Yeah. So you couldn't be more right about that. How the design can be lesser, let's say, but if like, the overall execution of colors, logo, packaging, or if all the other elements could help upgrade your athleticy or maybe not most stellar design, you can get away with not stellar design.
Well,
but you have to have other things to uplift it. And
that's like
that logo's never helped them out. Mike and I were just talking about that new shoe that blew up the UA logo, right? Tried to make it really, really, really big. So it's harder to like, I guess you're masking it. In that sense,
yeah, maybe a little bit,
but like it's still not logo. Rebranding is not unheard of. This I get why Nike's never rebranded. Don't touch it. Three stripes, Adidas, the Vector from from Reebok, the Puma, right? Don't change them. But throughout history, how many changes? Think even Cadillac. How crazy the Cadillac logo used to be and intricate, and they simplify it, change it. It still had the same heritage. But you can make drastic changes to something, and that, I don't know why they've never wanted to change it.
That's really interesting too to think about because Reebok has changed. Everybody's done variations of their logo, but Reebok changed their formal logo for CrossFit, right? And like CrossFit is obviously super successful. There's tons of people that do it. Like you know, I'm not knocking that at all, but without motion, with that triangular logo for the CrossFit, it took away the motion of the logo. And every logo that you think about on a sneaker that is successful, that people will buy, fundamentally, like, it has to have motion. It has to look like movement in some way. And, like, it's no surprise that Reebok kind of ditched that CrossFit logo, you know, 3-4 years after, even went back to the traditional Vector and, like, you know, like, they have their other versions, the, you know, kind of the whatever the British flag is called that they had on the tongue for a long time. And I think that's really interesting to think about, like even, you know, looking at other shoes that we probably don't talk about as much. I wonder if that's the case, because when I think about sneakers, I think about movement. So I almost feel like the logo has to in some way take that on. And the only shoes I can think about like off the top of my head that don't necessarily have that as like a visual statement to the side of a shoe are like early Jordans, right?
Yeah.
Just, well, any Jordans, but you know, like you think of like the three, But even then, like the Jumpman logo represents motion. You know, the swoosh is on the heel for all those shoes, whether it said Nike Air or had the Jumpman over it. So like there's always something about it that kind of implies the movement aspect of shoes. Yeah. But that's crazy to think about when how is that? And maybe these conversations have been had at Under Armour, but like,
I hope so.
How are we still getting the Under Armour logo when, you know, a tank is the wrong word. The Under Armour logo looks like a linebacker to me.
Like, just
that just does not represent sport to me. Like yeah. Nothing against that as a visual, as like a linebacker. Like obviously these guys are incredible, but like from a like cool factor or aesthetic perspective, it feels so disconnected from everything else that happens in sneaker world.
Yeah. I mean, I think they look at, like I was saying, New Balance. They look at that and like, well, if New Balance get away with slapping an N on something, why can't we do this? But Robbie made a good point. The N sucks, but everything else about the shoes are typically over like amazing. So they can hide that in great design, great materials, great colors, and you don't even think about it. So they don't have good designs. Typically, they use crappy materials and from things I've seen. Even as a performance brand, their performance shoes kind of suck. So, I mean...
And even the N has the slight italicized mark to it, right?
So
that italicized aspect of it gives it a little bit of motion. I know tons of people don't like the New Balance logo. Maybe it's just my name, but I don't have too much of an issue with it. But when I look at it, I don't think it's stationary.
Yeah.
Where like the Under Armour logo looks like something you would stamp on a, you know, some archaic, you know, that, newsletter.
The tilt of the N is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah. It makes sense. Way. Yeah. Totally. It's not just a stagnant. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah I do think, Armour. How do you guys feel about the NB logo that has the.
Like the racing stripes are kind of.
Yeah.
Like
racing stripes. Yeah.
I'd rather just the N over the MB.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
I think same. I've never thought about it, but the N's not bad.
Yeah.
Now, the letter N is for now. Steph Curry, back to our initial topic point.
Yes.
There weren't a lot of different shoes. What I think is fun and interesting is him wearing like Brooks, Cascadias, him wearing Ons, him wearing shoes he's never going to touch court with, but just, hey, why not? I can now wear whatever I want, and those shoes are comfortable. So I want to be comfortable going into the arena. I appreciate stuff like that. We'll go into the whole basketball stuff, but just part of sneaker free agency is being able to wear whatever you want at all times, you know? So I think that's fun for Steph. To even go back to wear like Tai Chi's stuff that's never going to touch the court. I think I saw him in like Cool Grays or Space Jams or something.
I think Cool Grays. Like, yeah.
Go wear shoes that make you happy. I know Peter sent him those Brooks. So some of them he probably, I don't think it's crazy to think Steph Curry had a pair of Cool Gray 11s in his house while still under contract with Under Armour and just didn't wear them outside, but he's a kid of the 90s, North Carolina. He has a pair. He has Jordans in the house. Like, I don't care
100%.
What. He can just now be outside with them. I think that's cool to work in for a guy that's never been really the most fashionable. I like the fits he's been getting off. They're fun. I like the cozy.
Or his fashion choices have been very like grown man, right? Like his Express deal and his like, you know, kind of, I forget the shoes that he was wearing back then, but like it's always kind of been like a choice to be like more adult, I guess, than the rest of the league for him. I can't say before it was cool to dress that way, because like then I started thinking about like the 90s and the early 2000s when guys were wearing like, you know, suits that were six times too big for him and stuff. But obviously, like Steph is kind of this interesting perception and persona about him too, because he comes across as like I say this lovingly if he ever listens or his friends or family ever listen, but he comes across like nerdy compared to the rest of basketball, right? The rest of basketball has like a lot of attitude, a lot of, you know, maybe street, like, I think like more like blacktop, you know, like,
yeah,
hoops culture from like Rucker Park type stuff. And Steph comes across as like the, you know, the silent killer, which is awesome to me, which is one of the things I love about him.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to see kind of the diversity. And like, I got to think that he has some of these in his collection, but a lot of this is like just the thought of like being able to have the freedom for him. And then the, obviously the marketing idea of like, well, you have this moment where you can connect with sneaker culture. You know, I hope that people are like buying into it and looking for what he's wearing versus like, yeah. You know, like we pulled up Curry Watch, which was what the guys over at Soul Retriever put together. And, you know, just seeing all the stuff that he's worn, looking at a list of shoes that are on there. I mean, he's got like the new Angel Reese shoe. He obviously wore his Curry Unrivaled PE. I saw Carmines, which there's pictures of him in, you know, high school or college wearing the Carmines. There's just a lot of good ways to connect, but I hope that is sustainable versus just a moment, right? Because I think about like Kobe, and I think about like, which he's worn the Kobe Reebok questions, but I think about Kobe's sneaker free agency, and I think about Gilbert Arenas' sneaker free agency. You don't care about Gilbert Arenas' sneaker free agency if you're not a diehard sneaker person.
Yeah.
Kobe's free agency, you've heard about it, you know enough about it, you saw what he wore, and he transitioned from obviously Adidas to Nike being the two biggest at the time, but wore some really cool, relevant stuff at the boom of sneakers. There's two ways that I see the Curry choice going. There's like, let's say me, skeptical towards all of this, thinking that it's just trying to make him legitimate to the sneaker community. And then there's like the person that's like a Curry fan that doesn't really care about that and just sees him wearing cool stuff. And that lane is going to make him successful wherever he goes next. If people don't buy into it, though, I'm worried that like it's hard to live up to seeing what's on his feet every game, every pregame now, because he's wearing cool stuff, versus the next company that he, you know, presumably signs with. How do you even get that exposure when it's like, all right, he's wearing another Curry shoe? Because yeah. Like the same thing happened to us with Kobe and LeBron, and, you know, like the only, like we only care about what LeBron wears when he wears something really cool, or when they were doing LeBron Watch and they were making a shoe for every freaking game. Outside of that, I feel like we've kind of forgotten to pay attention to what LeBron wears. You know, I know occasionally he wears something that gets published on the sites and Instagram accounts, but it feels like we kind of gave up on following that. And maybe that's also just his age and him, you know, kind of getting to the point where we think he might retire. I don't know, but it's a really interesting kind of, that's the way I see the future of all this for Curry, at least.
Well, I think the NBA as a whole, people see it differently, because when Kobe was doing that, there was kind of like these stringent guidelines about what you can wear on court. So it made it a little cooler seeing just what he was going to pull out, even though it was still in Laker colors in most cases, but still really cool nonetheless. And we didn't have social media, so it was like, oh, that was cool. I got to see whether it be a picture in a magazine, or I got to actually see him actually wear it on court, or highlighting the newspaper, whatever it was. It was cool as to kind of put the pieces together. I think it's kind of unfair for us, you know, our generation and maybe older, who saw Kobe's free agency. A lot of people say, oh, it's not as, this one's forced. I'm like, no, it's the exact same thing. Kobe was testing out different brands to see which one would work best for him, and, well, having fun along the way doing so. I feel like this is the same deal, because he's worn a lot of Lee Ning's on the court with Jimmy Butler's. He's worn a lot of Clay's Anta's. He actually debuted Kyrie's 3 on court for him, along with Adidas' new basketball shoe. So in the course of all the cool tunnel stuff, he's worn a lot of things in a testing aspect, seems like. And I think for him, in my mind, with if he's maybe going to move on from signature sneakers, he should team up with a Foot Locker. He should team up with a GOAT, StockX, and just keep doing that, because you can now. You don't have to be signed with a brand. He can go do something completely different, make Curry Brand golf and lifestyle stuff. But if this is the attention, like, that sees the numbers going up for his brand as Steph Curry, I say keep doing it and sign up with something that is like, what was that, Kyle Kuzma with GOAT at one point?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't. What's Kuzma isn't though? Curry, though, so they put a lot more in. But, like, it's funny how people, I've heard the same kind of critique that this feels, like, forced. We live in a generation and era where everything is, we've made this culture of forcing everything on online. Mike, I'm sure you wouldn't be making videos every day if you didn't have to make videos. I'm sure you love it too, but it's just like you have to put yourself out there repeatedly. Yeah. We've made this habitat for all of us to live in now. So to say it's forced, it's like you want to know what Curry's fart smelt like. Like you want to know every single detail about these people. It's just like we want to know so much and we expect so much and we expect them to give us so much information. It's wild. You bring up the Jimmy Butler and Klay Thompson shoes are great because he's just doing what I think any free agent should do. It's kind of what I do as a work free agent in life. I kind of do whatever feels good to me, right? He wants to support his boys, his teammate. It's dumb to think him and Klay aren't still best friends. Like,
yeah,
it's dumb to think like, oh, you don't play here anymore, I'm not going to support your sneakers. Like, it's insane. So that all makes sense. And kind of more behind, not behind the scenes, but it's a pretty known relationship between him and Sabrina Ionescu, right? He wanted her to be on Curry brand, but her being a Duck alumni of Oregon, that was never going to happen. And he knew that, but they're very close in like their personal lives, both as like a mentor and friends. So I love how he's rocking customs of her shoe, Liberty PEs of her shoe, Oregon PEs of her shoe. Just like, that's your homegirl. That's somebody who's looked up to you. She's now made it. Give her her flowers and wear her shoes on your court the same way she wore your shoes back. You know, it's just like, Steph is I don't want to say the phrasing said Nick makes sense, but he's kind of like French vanilla, right? It's like really delicious, but like mellow, right? It can go with anything. Yeah. But everyone appreciates a nice, like, fine French vanilla, double churned. Nice. You know, it's not your basic Breyers.
It's not plain aggressive white to the palate, what you're trying to say. Like, anyone can like him. And I think, that makes sense. Steph Curry is the player that your mom knows. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, oh, like my mom, if we say, let's watch basketball, she's like, oh, we're watching Steph Curry. And it's like, that makes sense. You know, he's very family friendly, which is a good thing. I don't think everybody has to be off the rails like some of these other people.
Yeah, and I would argue that it's the perfect time for him to be that, right? Like, Robbie and I talked a little bit about this on a previous episode, but like having guys like Ja Morant in the league and having the chaos that he seems to bring, having the, you know, the Zion and the injuries and like, you know, the separation of that from, you know, and I know Curry's dealing with injuries too, but like the separation of that, like, what's the right way to put it? It's basically like, I think of like all that next generation of players is very vibrant, right?
Yeah.
To Robbie's point, like the French vanilla thing is like a great example or a great way to put it, because it does have a mass appeal compared to LaMelo Ball's camo Hummer that he's running into people with, you know, like all the chaos that comes with that energy. And I don't mean that those guys are bad in any way, but it's like,
much different,
like,
brand.
Steph is a clean cut dude. Like, he doesn't have like crosses tattooed on his neck the way, you know, LaMelo Ball does. Like, there's something about that can be more brand friendly too. Palatable. For the right partner, you know? And yeah, it's palatable, right? And I'm not saying that, I don't even know that that's the choice that I would make, but I just do recognize that, like, you know, to your point, Mike, like when my mom and I back in the day would watch any basketball, she wanted to see Michael, and she always thought Michael looked handsome with his earring. And like, you know, like my stepdad would have never let us, we couldn't wear jewelry, we couldn't put anything in our hair, like we couldn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So like back then, my mom saying that and suggesting that I get my ear pierced was like wild. But like that's how Michael came across to the suburbs, you know.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a worthy conversation piece for this whole thing. And I think the other part about this that hurts me as like a fan of Steph and a fan of sneakers is the fact that we didn't get to see the connected sneaker story to GOAT, to the film coming out, and you know, to like,
yeah,
Tyree Dillahaye behind the scenes, and like just knowing how much they probably had, you know, like in the works for all of this. It's super disappointing that it didn't work out, and like this brand deal with Under Armour fell apart at this time. Yeah. But hopefully there's an opportunity for them to go down that path again and do a second version or whatever that is. I haven't seen it yet. I definitely will, but like just hadn't got out there yet.
I want to see it too.
Yeah.
A great movie for the family. You're raising out here raising children. Go take them to GOAT.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I don't think that's, I think that's like, it's become an underrated thing. I can't remember, like, one of you guys mentioned, like, the dress code being an aspect of it. You know, we used to have dress code in the NBA, which sucked. But then once you get to the point where there's no dress code, then, like, there's so much stuff that just doesn't matter. It's just, like,
it's the Incredibles of it,
man. To wear a bright colored shoe.
Once everyone's a superhero, no one's a superhero.
Yeah, exactly.
So when everybody can wear crazy lime green shoes, no one wants crazy lime green.
That's why a lot of the special things fell apart. I mean, not to go down a rabbit hole, but so many years now, why is the All-Star release has not been as special, or Christmas, or, you know, name it. Like, they don't get those special things anymore because, just like Robbie said, once everything is special, nothing's special anymore. So you don't get that. Like, when we've got the Big Bang Pack, okay, they wore team colors all year. Oh, wow, look at these orange. Look at this galaxy print. Look at all this stuff. It's just, I guess people now, like kids now coming up watching the NBA, it's just, oh, okay, that's a cool shoe he wore this game. It's not like us, we see that, it blows our mind. So it's not the surprise or, again, special moment anymore that we get when they do something like out of the ordinary.
Yeah. I think another layer to that too, that we don't talk about much, is like, it's not just like there's like this part of sports and sneakers where we all watch the same things. We all consume the same things. So we all saw those moments, right? Like in my mind, I'm thinking like when, you know, the Grinches were sitting on the seats at Staples for the first launch, when KD and the whole entire OKC team laced up the creamsicles the first time, like there are moments where like everybody was watching because we watched on very specific places, right? Now we're getting to the point where not only are we, everything is all over the place from a media and TV perspective, but every brand and every person and every athlete is trying to create a special moment amongst all these special moments. So you basically have no choice but to forget most of the things that happened, because it's like, well, I'm only going to care about my favorite player or my team or my favorite shoe or whatever that is. And there's, you know, 300 releases over the course of a month for All-Star this year. And like, not to say that you can't have some success. And I know that, like, you know, some shoes are made for those diehard people that are, you know, one of 1,000 or one of, you know, 5,000 that show up and put in the work to be a part of the experience and get the shoe. And I have nothing against that. I think like there's huge value in that. But like, it's really interesting to think about all of those things layered on top of like how maybe numb we've become to the new cool colorways and the bright colors and the flashiness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like Curry wore the Dada C-dubs, the chrome C-dubs, you know, like that's a huge shoe for, you know, me being from California. And I know even Robbie would acknowledge that that's a huge shoe because that was the era of Kings versus Lakers. We cared about that more than anything. And, you know, for like 5-6 years straight, that was like I watched every single game. Like like you could not miss that because it was such a thing. And now we don't have any of that, you know, like there isn't a must watch game because we don't have the same level of focus as consumers, you know, watchers, viewers or whatever, because people aren't on the same platforms. They aren't sharing the moments across platforms. You know, like I could be watching the Olympics. You guys could be watching All-Star and then somebody else is watching Daytona 500 all this last weekend.
Yeah.
You know, like those are like three big moments. But like then you split that up and think, OK, well, somebody's going to watch this on YouTube TV. Somebody's going to watch this on Hulu. Somebody's watching this on NBC. It's like, well, I can't even like text you guys in the moment and be like, Marv Albert says some crazy shit. That was funny. You know, like that kind of stuff that used to happen with basketball all the time just does not happen in the same way. And I know I'm a little bit removed from as being a fan, being that the Kings are setting records for the most losses in franchise history. But like beside that, it's still very fractured in the way that we watch the NBA. And I think it's something that, you know, it influenced the All-Star conversation that Robbie and I had a lot. And I think it's something that potentially is where I wonder where Steph goes from here because of it. Because to your point, you know, like Kyle Kuzma, you know, probably works out fine for GOAT. They did a year or two contract with him, get a bunch of marketing assets, get a bunch of visibility. Those companies aren't making the money that they were making 5-6 years ago. You know, like the average sale at StockX is probably a third of what it was price wise. And that's not good money compared to, you know, Foot Locker could pull it off. And at one point, I probably can't talk too much about this, actually. At one point, I talked to Foot Locker about signing an athlete specifically and not signing them to a brand. And it was something that they were trying to work out. And I don't know where they landed on it. But, you know, if you go back to sneaker history and look up John Wall, I wrote about John Wall years ago when he left Reebok because I thought that was a good opportunity. You know, here's a guy that's quick, fast, very relatable as a point guard. He'd be a perfect person for someone like Foot Locker to sign. They have the money on the back end to be able to do that. Someplace like StockX or GOAT, yes, they might seem like they have money, but they don't have Foot Locker money. You know, Foot Locker has 40.
Dick's Sporting Goods money now, right? Because didn't Dick's own them? Yeah. So they got money now.
Under Armour's the perfect partner for him, right? But like...
So you sign the deal, like you can wear any brand you sell, but Under Armour.
Like, we're gonna redact Under Armour from this contract completely.
Well, I mean, and it's just sport, right? It's like some sports brands are boring compared to others if you're a fan and not an athlete. If that makes sense, you know, like
for sure.
I think of like Wilson. You know, Wilson basketball did some really cool stuff over the past few years. If you're a basketball fan, they're really interesting. If you're a tennis fan, they're really interesting. But then you go to like Easton, which is like a baseball football brand. If you're not an athlete, you don't care about Easton as a brand. You know, like if you're not an athlete, you have almost no interest in Easton. But Wilson has like some level of consumer interest on top of their, you know, sports gear that they make. But yeah, it's something that I think a lot about too with like Curry is like, is there enough value for him to do something with a Foot Locker? You know, what I was going to say is like, you think of Foot Locker and if you think about sneakers, there's a 40-50% markup on a pair of shoes for someone like Foot Locker. With a StockX or a GOAT or an eBay or a Flight Club or wherever, your only markup is like the fee that you charge to sell. You know, like you might take 10-15%, 20% maybe, but you're not making enough on every transaction to justify giving someone like Curry millions of dollars. You can pull it off with a Kuzma who doesn't have like this massive following and this massive brand presence. But I ultimately still come back to Steph will sell more off-court shoes from here on out than he will on-court shoes.
Oh, yeah. Or golf shoes.
That's awesome. Golf is definitely one. Yeah.
So that was going to be my next question. I actually think it would be really crazy fucking cool if he signed like a golf specific deal with like Sunday Red, Tiger Woods' brand, because they're very similar in personality. They're very similar in like dedication to the sport, to the job, to the work. And like, that's a really interesting way to like think of a partnership, right? Like, I could think of tons of marketing ideas of how you're having, you know, Tiger and Steph out there on the golf course competing, but then Steph and Tiger on the basketball court, maybe putting up threes in like some commercials and stuff. That said, like, that's like the off, like the side thing that I would love to see happen. I don't think that will happen. The other thing that I think is really interesting to think about is like just how much Anta's putting into the U.S. market right now.
Oh yeah. Well, cause
I think there's tons of opportunity there. And I was going to ask you guys, like, if you just had the ability to say, this is where Steph's going, this is the shoe that he's going to wear, and this is what his signature line looks like from here on out, where do you guys go with it?
I think you should pull the Federer and go to On. I think you should build basketball there. Because, I mean, you look at the shoe that Roger Pro Fire, the one he wore on court before he got hurt, you tweak that a little bit, it's a basketball shoe, a really nice basketball shoe with that. And I think he's on that same leg of his career that Roger was on. He's had that same mindset of building something that's long-lasting, that's not just, here's a signature shoe. I think it would make sense, personally, especially because On is just trying to find ways to keep growing market share. They're doing great in tennis. Of course, they're always going to be in that running athleisure space. But I'd love to see if they did something to kind of disrupt basketball with Curry being kind of that leading the charge there.
Respectfully, I'm going to say no to that. But the same way Tiger Woods is like has an analog to Tiger Woods and Curry, I think Roger Federer is a really, really good comparison, like, right, top of their sport for a long time, champion of the sport, like prolific in what they do, arguably some of the best, not the best of all time, but arguably one of in the conversation of like all time undisputable great. So I like that too. I think he's so big, I don't think it would either work with wearing multiple brands like you guys have kind of outlined. I think he's just, he can do whatever he none. My answer is none.
No deal. He just keeps going on his own. Just hanging out.
I mean, he's not going to because he's smart, but I saw him slanging like wine or tequila recently. Like, he has enough other ventures. Why limit yourself to something? Go wait. Okay, correction. Nick's Sunday Reds makes a lot of sense. He's 38 years old. He's one injury away from being Kobe, bro. And respectfully, at age 38, you have one bad leg injury.
Oh, you're done.
It's a wrap. Yeah. It is what it is. So, like, going forward, he needs to think. It's a long-term thought right now, not the next, you know, however long the NBA is. He loves golf. He's a fantastic golfer. Sunday Red needs firepower. I think that would be the move. Basketball-wise, wear whatever the F you want for the rest of your career. Don't be held down by anybody. But then all the other times that he golfs a lot, where make the money on the links, make the money off the court. He's only on court in what, 8 hours a week on TV. So it's like, that's not going to happen. But in my opinion, support anybody and everybody. He's worn Anthony Edwards shoes. Like, right. He'll wear whatever. Keep that energy and, you know, save it for the links.
I mean, and he's obviously a huge WNBA fan. Like you mentioned, Sabrina. I mentioned he wore Angel Reese's shoe. He's worn multiple Candace Parker shoes. I think he's even worn a couple of PEs from some other WNBA players. Like, there's like a maybe a coaching side of basketball as a possibility with all of this. But one thing you mentioned, Robbie, that I forgot about, he has his own wine brand, right? So like, if that's his like, you know, kind of market outside of basketball, I think you make a good point. Like, he's definitely, you know, past his, you know, past his peak in terms of like the amount of shoes he's going to sell. And if he were to do something, whether that's with On and Rod, you know, like Roger Federer is a good parallel, right? Like, there's like let's say all three of those guys have a refined fashion sense, right?
Like, unless Tiger Woods is in Central Florida, then he becomes less refined. But
keep him away from IHOPs.
But like, that's a really interesting idea to like have to not have a shoe deal for the next court, however many years, right? Because I can't imagine he's going to play more than like 2, 3, 4 at
he's most. The greatest aging small player in NBA history.
Yeah.
Period. But also one bad leg injury, 38 years old. It's a period. So like,
but yeah, then the downside to doing that would be that you're not used to the shoes you're wearing if you're switching it up all the time, right?
I don't think it's a bad, I mean, that's more superstition. Like, he's played basketball his entire life. He breaks, it's...
He also wears, like, the giant, you know, like...
He gives the shoes... Huge. He gives the shoes over to his brother, and he just breaks them in a little bit, and then he passes them over to Steph. Seth wears... Yeah, I'm kidding. Anywho. None.
That would be so funny if Seth was like the warm-up shoe guy for what Steph was wearing on court.
And the break those actually just be
a hilarious skit. They should just do that as a skit.
That would be good. All right. I think that's a good Steph conversation, though.
Yeah,
listeners, definitely. What do you think? If you could be Steph Curry, where would you sign? This is your NBA 2K My Career moment. You're Steph Curry. Who are you choosing for your deal? And also Coke or Pepsi. Like, you get to make these big choices.
Big life choices today, looks like.
I feel like we need somebody to leave a review that says, like, all I want to do is play basketball, wear Reebok, and drink Pepsi.
I just want to check. I just want to give me my check, please.
Everybody under the age of, like, 35, huh?
Huh?
Yeah. People are like, these old guys. Yeah, yeah.
Don't mind
all us. Right, well, we appreciate y'all rocking with us. This has been a good one. I'm definitely curious what people think about this, so hopefully we hear from you soon, and if not, we'll catch you in the next episode. Thanks for rocking with us. Peace.
Thanks, guys.
See you, everybody.
Hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. If you want more insights into the sneaker world, I've started a newsletter called The Sneaker Newsletter to share my knowledge of over 2 decades experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link below or go to thesneakernewsletter.com. Last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.